I'm Marty Moscowen. Welcome to Ballot Talks on Radio Times. It looks like Pennsylvania will truly be a battleground state in the race for the White House. The primary is April 26th, and winning the state's delegates are a big prize for the candidates. And while the presidential race has sucked up a lot of attention, there's an important statewide race in Pennsylvania for attorney general. Kathleen Kane is not seeking re-election, instead faces a criminal trial later this year. Her office has been embroiled in scandal, turmoil, and controversy for months. Five candidates are running to replace her, including three Democrats, one of whom joins us on Radio Times. Josh Shapiro is chair of the Montgomery County Board of Commissioners. He served four terms in the Pennsylvania House from 2005 to 2012. He's also chairman of the Pennsylvania Commission on Crime and Delinquency. We've been featuring one-on-one interviews with all the candidates. We will complete them before the primary. And Josh Shapiro, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Great to be back on with you, Marty.
Nice to have you with us. And to our listeners, lines open at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. I have frankly begun all my interviews with the attorney general candidates with this question, which is how do you propose to fix the reputation, restore stability to the attorney general's office?
Well, first and foremost, I think we need to restore integrity and fairness to our justice system. Number two, we need an executive who can go in there and clean up a mess and run the office effectively. And number three, I think we need to elect someone that actually understands what this office is supposed to do, to go out and be the public protector, to go out and be the voice for the voiceless across the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Marty, to deal with the issue of integrity and fairness, I put forth a 12-point plan, things that I would do on day one in the Office of Attorney General and things that I would advocate for. Number one, we would have a code of conduct for each and every employee in the office to follow. Number two, mandatory ethics training. Number three, we would begin to post all of our expenses online so people had a sense of how their tax dollars were being spent in the AG's office. Number four, we would make sure that there was a gift ban in place, so no one was being, you know, sort of influenced by outside spending. Fifth, we would establish a chief diversity officer in the Office of Attorney General to make sure that the folks who are sitting around the table helping make decisions about protecting the rights of all Pennsylvanians look like the people of Pennsylvania. I think one of the biggest issues with the email scandal, I'm sure we'll get into
that,
is that the people sitting around the table kind of all looked alike, kind of all had the same mentality. And then the final thing I would do on day one is establish a Casey Commission named after Governor Casey to examine the operations in the office and look at all of state government to recommend continued reforms. My whole life I've been a government reformer. My whole life I've been someone that's tried to make government more open, honest, and transparent. More than ever, we need to do that in the AG's office.
When you talk about diversity, Kathleen Kane talks about an old boys club in Pennsylvania. Are you talking about the same thing?
I think there's some of that, and I'm glad that General Kane exposed these emails. I would have handled a little bit differently, and let me speak to this issue. First and foremost, I'd have put all the emails out there, 100%.
For everyone to see.
Everyone to see. I mean, certainly everyone can agree you'd redact Social Security numbers or private information or confidential grand jury information, but just put everything else out there. And then, you know, I think these emails speak to a deeper issue in our democracy today. Listen, when you have a culture that allows for Supreme Court justices, judges, deputy attorneys general, lawyers to swap racist, homophobic, misogynistic, anti-Semitic emails back and forth with one another and think that's okay. I think someone called it, you know, locker room humor. That is not okay. And what it does is it speaks not just about those individuals who did it, but it makes everyone in Pennsylvania question whether they're going to get a fair shot, whether the rules are going to be applied equally to them, whether because of their income or the color of their skin, they're going to be treated differently. That cancer in our democracy undermines our justice system and undermines people's confidence.
Was that illegal, what was done? It was done on government computers. Does that make it illegal?
You know, it's interesting. My opponents have said in this campaign, there's nothing that was illegal. I don't know how we can say that and draw that conclusion without looking at all the emails and exposing them. Here's exactly what I would do. Number one, if there is systemic criminal activity going on, I'd put that in a grand jury and have them review it and make that determination. Number two, if there's sort of one-off criminal activity, that is one individual committed a crime through these emails, I would charge that person. And then number three, and this is probably the biggest bucket, anyone who committed an ethics violation, which could just be using, you know, the government computer for personal use, that would go to the Ethics Commission, and ethics complaints should be filed. I think we are not done with this yet. I want it exposed, and I want the people who either committed a crime or an ethics violation to be charged or held responsible. This is a serious issue. This is a cancer in our democracy, and I'm going to do something about it.
One of the candidates, Morganelli, said that he would ask for resignations. I essentially say, you know, give me your resignation, and we'll determine whether to keep you or not. Is that something you would do?
Well, look, I'm the one person in this race that's actually run something. I run a county government that is four times larger than the Office of Attorney General in Montgomery County. I've dealt with complex transitions. Here's what I'm going to do. In the month of November, after I win, we are going to have a very strong transition team established, whatever the proper format and structure should be for the office. December will be spent filling it out with the best of the best of people from around the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. In January, we will be able to announce all of those personnel decisions. There will be some people who are there now who are doing a great job who should stay. There will be a lot of new people coming in. To just simply walk in and say, I'm going to fire everybody, that's not the answer. People who are committed to my vision, people who are committed to doing the right thing for the right reasons for the people of Pennsylvania are going to get an open shot with me.
Some of your opponents and also some people that have supported you have some concerns that you don't have courtroom experience or even trial experience. Tell us about if you have ever prosecuted a case or defended someone
Sure.
in court.
Well, actually, if you want to talk about trial experience, that would disqualify Steve Zappala, the DA who's never tried a case. He had admitted that.
Have you ever tried a case?
I think what they're speaking to is, you know, that I'm not a DA. So let's get into that. I'm glad you asked the question. 40% of our nation's attorneys general were never prosecutors before they became attorney general. It has not been the norm here, but it is the norm elsewhere. I think what we need now more than ever is someone with a diverse background, someone who's been an executive, someone who stood up for democratic values, someone who's taken on the status quo, and someone who has experience in both the public sector and the private sector. And I have all of that, and I think I'm uniquely qualified at this unique time. I have handled complex legal issues at my law firm, Stradley Ronan, for over a decade. I've been there. I've handled complex legal issues both directly and in a supervisory role in government. As chairman of the Montgomery County Commission, I oversee our law department there. And I oversee an entire state operation at the Pennsylvania Commission on Crime and Delinquency. Plus, I was a leading member of the Judiciary Committee, where I quite literally wrote laws in this Commonwealth. So my diverse background, my depth and breadth of knowledge of state government and how the AG's office work, I think uniquely qualifies me at this time. And the final point I'll say is this, Marty. Across this Commonwealth, more Democratic district attorneys have endorsed me than my two opponents combined. And Marty, these aren't just friends from around southeastern PA. This is, you know, DAs in Somerset and Elk and Clearfield and Cambria and Center and places like that. These are folks who understand both the DA's office and the AG's office better than anyone else. And they've chosen to side with me over their two DA colleagues. I think that speaks volumes about the way they view this office.
Well, let me ask you again in a different way. Have you ever been in a courtroom?
Of course I have. I have not been a prosecutor. What I have focused on is complex legal issues that has, I think, worked to the benefit of the people that I serve.
Well, the district attorney's office is involved in prosecuting organized crime, public mm-hmm. corruption, consumer fraud, child protection. Will you need deputies or others who can, in a sense, make some of those determinations for you without that courtroom experience?
I have certainly the requisite legal skills and knowledge. And most importantly, I have sound judgment. And my judgment has always been something people have commended me for as a state rep, county commissioner, leader of PCCD. I think what you need is a good legal mind. I'm a Georgetown law educated individual with vast experience in the legal sector. You need someone with sound judgment, and you need someone with good ethics. And yes, I'm going to surround myself with the absolute best of the best, Marty. What I have shown an ability to do as an executive is bring really good people in, get them engaged, get them involved, and have them help me make strong decisions. And that is exactly what we'll do in the AG's office.
Let me raise another thing that has been raised by Morganelli, who is one of the candidates also running for this office, raising questions about your ethics, talking about the fact that you receive contributions from organizations, an engineering firm, a construction inspection company, a subsidiary of Exelon, receive campaign contributions as you were also making decisions as the chairman of the Montgomery County Board of Commissioners.
It is complete nonsense and totally false. Listen, I mean, consider the source. John has run for attorney general, I think, four or five times.
This is his fourth time.
He loses every time. He is poised to lose again this time. Let's examine my actual record. And I appreciate you giving me a moment to dig into this. The moment I got to the State House of Representatives, I was known as a reformer. You know, not everybody was thrilled to see me when I got there because I challenged the status quo. I wrote some of the most farthest reaching ethics laws and policies in political generations in Harrisburg. When I got to the Montgomery County Commission, the first thing I did was put a model ethics code in place and a model procurement code in place that other counties have utilized. Part of what we've done in that process is create openness and transparency around our contracting. So before we put out an RFP, we analyze it and we announce it and vote on it publicly. Then the analysis of, you know, all the bids and this and that is done by a committed group of staff, and then ultimately voted on publicly by the commissioners. We also require those who are bidding on work to disclose whether they've given any contributions to any commissioners or anyone involved in county government. We believe in openness and transparency. There is not a single time that a contribution was given and had it influence the outcome of that contract. And in fact, if you study or listen to what Morganelli said, he never actually alleged that. What he did was he just threw a bunch of nonsense up there to see what people would grab onto and talk about and write about. I'm glad you asked that question because I'm proud of my ethics. Frankly, one of the reasons why President Barack Obama announced his endorsement for me was because of my commitment to ethics and good government and honest government. It's what Governor Wolf's talked about and others as well.
Well, let me just ask one thing and then we will move on. Sure. This is something that Morganelli cited, and I think I'm reading from the Philadelphia – oh, no, the Morning Call. On February 20th, 2015, Shapiro received a $2,500 contribution from a principal of an engineering firm, McCormick Taylor. On March 6, 2015, he voted for a $400,000 contract for the company. The next day, he received another $1,000 contribution.
Yeah, I think what John is asserting is absolute false. It's absolute baloney. It's nonsense. We are open. We are transparent. We are honest in how we do our government procurement. We've received accolades from good government groups and others across the board for our work there. John is doing everything he can to deflect from his own record. It's funny. We've had multiple debates. Every
you
time
have.
Someone asks him, you know, John, what do you think about this or that? He spends his 60 seconds or 90 seconds attacking me. I'm a big boy. This is what they do to a front runner. I understand that. And I appreciate you giving me a chance to talk about my record of achievement on ethics and integrity. And I'm very comfortable with where we stand and how we've conducted ourselves in government in Montgomery County and in Harrisburg.
Well, let's take a very short break. We'll get back to our conversation talking with Josh Shapiro. He is running for the Democratic nomination for Attorney General here in Pennsylvania. One of three Democrats, one of five candidates running for this office. And we have been featuring one-on-one interviews with all of them. And we will complete all of them before the primary, which is April 26th. You can join the conversation. Any questions or comments, call us at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. And many issues to talk about after this very short break. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne talking with Josh Shapiro about why he wants to be Pennsylvania's new attorney general. We've been talking about his record, qualifications, also some of his plans if elected to this top legal post. We have calls coming in at 1-888-477-9499. The three Democrats that are running for this nomination, there's a lot of crossover on dealing with the heroin crisis, reforming the criminal justice system, getting up to speed on things like environmental crimes, legalizing medical marijuana. It looks like that's going to happen. How do you differentiate yourself?
Well, I think there's actually not a lot of crossover on that. There are clear differences between each of us. For example, I have talked very extensively in this campaign about how I'll go after the fracking industry. You know, over the last 10 years, there have been over 5,000 environmental violations by the frackers in Pennsylvania, yet only twice have they been prosecuted. I am going to beef up the Environmental Crimes Division within the AG's office and the Public Protection Division and go after the frackers. I'm the only candidate in the race who's talked about it. I'm the only candidate in the race who's talked about protecting a woman's right to choose. In fact, I'm the only pro-choice candidate in the race. And I think right now a woman's right to choose is under assault. I've been endorsed by Equality PA and all the LGBT organizations in the state, in part because I've talked about the need to protect the civil liberties of our LGBT brothers and sisters. As chairman of the Pennsylvania Commission on Crime and Delinquency, I've actually done something about dealing with the number one killer in Pennsylvania today, which is heroin and opioids, and have a very specific plan to do that. I put out very specific plans on how to deal with illegal gun violence and illegal guns in our communities and taken on the NRA, and I'm the only one with a track record of doing that. So I think there's actually some significant and stark differences, not just in how we view the office. I view it as an office that is a public protector, and also just in terms of our ideology and our focus.
You have been endorsed by Planned Parenthood. You are an abortion rights supporter. There is a bill. In fact, we'll be talking about it in the second hour of the show today, a bill on hold in Harrisburg that would basically say that, except during rare cases of an emergency, then abortion would be illegal after 20 weeks, and also would ban a particular procedure that's commonly used for abortions. Would that hold up constitutionally from your perspective?
I was with Cecile Richards and others from Planned Parenthood in Harrisburg just this week at a press conference announcing our opposition to legislation. If this were to pass, and it quite likely could pass in the legislature, they have the votes to pass it, we would have the most restrictive abortion law in the entire country. I have been an avid supporter of abortion rights in Pennsylvania, always have been, proud to be endorsed by Planned Parenthood. I believe this would be an unconstitutional law, and it would not be a law as Attorney General that I would defend. It is something that I would specifically oppose as Attorney General.
And what would that mean then? I mean, this is a bit speculative in that it's on hold. Governor Wolf said that he would veto it. But if there was some kind of an override of the veto and it became law, what then? If you're not going to uphold it, are you going to challenge it?
Sure.
Would you challenge it?
It is likely, by the way, that if it came up for a vote, it would pass pretty overwhelmingly, just given the nature of the legislature. The governor would veto it, and they would have the votes possibly to override it. And then it would be litigated. And ultimately, the attorney general's responsibility is to defend the Commonwealth in lawsuits. I would not defend the Commonwealth in this lawsuit. I would not defend this abortion ban law in Pennsylvania. Not because I disagree with it. There's lots of laws I disagree with, but because I believe it would be unconstitutional. I believe it would be out of sync with Roe v. Wade and the protections that are currently in place for women throughout Pennsylvania. I am running against two gentlemen who do not support a woman's right to choose, who have said that they would defend this kind of law. That is a clear difference, and that is a serious difference for us to be able to go out and speak about in this campaign. We have to protect a woman's right to choose. It is under assault in Harrisburg right now.
You mentioned guns, and obviously here in Philadelphia, other municipalities, other communities where there are problems of gun violence, of illegal guns, which has, you know, dogged law enforcement for generations now. How do you propose to get at that?
Well, I'm going to continue to be consistent with my record. I've got 100% rating from ceasefire and a failing grade from the NRA over time. So I'm proud of both of those scores. Here's exactly what I would do. Number one, we have a special task force between the Attorney General's office and the DA's office in Philadelphia to deal with illegal guns. I would beef that up and expand it out to other communities all across Pennsylvania. Philly's not the only area where we're dealing with illegal guns, number one. Number two, we're going to be far more aggressive on dealing with straw purchasers. That is, someone can't buy a gun, and then they use someone who legally can to buy 10 guns, for example, and then they resell them illegally.
How would you do that? I mean, that's such a critical transaction. How do you stop that or interfere with that?
You infiltrate those sales by putting far more attention, far more focus, far more agents involved in those kinds of transactions, by partnering with local police and local DA offices to make sure you have the resources to make it a priority. I will. Third, we have a system here in Pennsylvania where when someone wants to go apply for a carry permit and they get rejected, oftentimes they'll go to another state where the standards are far less, get a carry permit, and then carry it in because of reciprocity into Pennsylvania. We have closed that loophole with Florida. I want to make sure we close all the loopholes with all the other states. Fourth, anyone who goes and applies for a carry permit and fails that carry permit because of criminal issues, we need to prosecute those folks. We need to go after them. We need to be far more aggressive. And then fifth, and this can sound a little bit amorphous, but I think it's really important, you need an attorney general who's going to use his bully pulpit to challenge the NRA, to speak out on these issues, and to ultimately effectuate real change. We have not had that in this Commonwealth. I will be that kind of attorney general.
If I'm a gun owner in Pennsylvania, should I worry about you as attorney general?
If you are a legal gun owner in Pennsylvania and you're not using your gun to commit crime, you want to use it for self-defense hunting, you shouldn't worry about me at all. I'm a Second Amendment right supporter. I go shooting, in gun clubs throughout Pennsylvania. I have no issue with that. What I do have a problem with is people who are using guns illegally, people who are getting them illegally, people who are using them to gun down police officers and gun down innocent people in our streets each and every day in Pennsylvania. We've got to distinguish between those who are law-abiding citizens who have a Second Amendment right to own and use a gun, and those who are using them illegally. It's very easy to distinguish. What we need to do is bring down the white-hot rhetoric and focus on solving the problem. I can do that.
Let me get some callers in. Looks like we have Janice from Mount Airy joining us on Radio Times. Hi, Janice. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
I wanted to ask Commissioner Shapiro what role he thought the Attorney General had in addressing housing segregation, especially as it pertains to the concentration of housing choice vouchers in high poverty areas. For example, half of all vouchers in Montgomery County are used in Norristown, and that makes it very difficult for municipalities to raise adequate revenue for services. It also makes it really hard for people who are looking to escape poverty to access real opportunity like great schools.
Janice, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Josh Shapiro, what do you say?
Three quick points, Janice. Number one, in Montgomery County, we've tried to address this, as county commissioner I have, by actually increasing the value of the housing choice vouchers so people can travel further across our region to be able to secure housing so they're not concentrated in just one or two communities. Second, as attorney general, if I find out that there's illegal activity going on with the housing choice vouchers, I would prosecute it. Third, one of the biggest housing issues we face across the Commonwealth, and particularly in Philadelphia, in Norristown, in Reading, and in places across our area, are blighted properties, where you'll have, say, 20 homes on a block. Three or four of them are blighted. It drives down the property values for everybody. It increases crime, and it creates a real problem. I will have a program as attorney general where we will threaten or actually take action to put these homes in receivership unless they are upgraded. By doing so, we're actually empowering the local mayors, local councils, and others to be able to reclaim their communities. These blighted properties end up really bringing down communities, and otherwise you have folks working real hard to improve their communities. I'm going to be a partner with local organizations, local communities, local redevelopment authorities to address the blighted property crisis across Pennsylvania.
Janice, thanks for the call to Radio Times. You can call us as well. We are talking with Josh Shapiro, one of three Democrats running for the nomination for Attorney General here in Pennsylvania. He's chairman of the Montgomery County Board of Commissioners. He served four terms in the Pennsylvania House of Representatives, and he is also, and I'm throwing my papers around here, chairman of the Pennsylvania Commission on Crime and Delinquency. And again, we are featuring one-on-one interviews with all the candidates running for the office of Attorney General. We feel that's a public service to you, our listeners. And again, you can call us at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Much to talk about. Let me get Joshua from Fishtown to join us. Joshua, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Yeah, hi. My question is, I'd like to hear, you know, what are your opinions of the so-called kind of religious freedom and trans-focused bathroom laws that have been passed? And what would you, you know, as Attorney General, do if Pennsylvania or, you know, certain municipalities had similar laws?
Thanks for the call, Josh. And let me just quote something here. This was a list, I believe, from the Associated Press looking at various states dealing with this particular issue. Quoting here, Pennsylvania's Democratic Governor Tom Wolf earlier this month signed an executive order barring state contractors and grant recipients from discriminating based on sexual orientation or gender identity. State Senator Mike Fulmer says he wants to vet the bill in committee to make sure it does not violate anybody's religious liberties or freedom of conscience. So, Josh Shapiro, if somehow this passed or this was bubbling up, where would you stand?
Well, Joshua, I appreciate your question, and I assume you're sort of referring to the North Carolina law that was just put in place. I oppose those kinds of laws, and I will be a strong and loud opponent of them, number one. Number two, I'm proud in this campaign to be endorsed by Equality PA and LGBTQ organizations like Liberty City, all across Pennsylvania. My record is clear. I've stood against discrimination in the legislature. I co-sponsored legislation to expand protections for LGBTQ brothers and sisters. I wrote the bill to expand hate crimes legislation in Pennsylvania. Unfortunately, it has not yet passed, but should, to expand to gender identity and sexual orientation. I was one of the leaders in Montgomery County in issuing the first marriage licenses to same-sex couples when two women came to us after the federal law had changed, but the state law had not yet changed. We stood up in Montgomery County, issued that license along with well over 100 others before Governor Corbett, former Governor Corbett, sued to try and stop us. And our lawsuit was one of many that ultimately brought about marriage equality in Pennsylvania. I have always been proud to stand on the side of equality, and I will continue to do that. And as Attorney General, should these issues reach my desk, I will vigorously and strenuously oppose any of these hateful laws like what we're seeing coming out of North Carolina.
You don't think they have religious protections?
Look, I'm a person of deep faith, and I am a person who believes certain things because of my faith. I don't believe that I believe anything discriminatory. Certainly, my faith is one that is inclusive of all. But I think that someone who hides behind their faith to suggest that discrimination is okay is simply wrong, and there is no place for that in our laws in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania does have marriage equality, but as many have said, you can still be discriminated against
right.
if you're gay on the job or in public accommodations and housing. How do you propose dealing with that?
Well, Marty, 10, 12 years ago, I guess now, when I was in the legislature, I co-sponsored that legislation. I think there were only about 12 or 15 of us originally who co-sponsored it. Now I think more than half of the House has. It needs to pass. We need to make it so it's impossible for people to be legally discriminated against in housing in the workplace just based on who they love.
Is that putting pressure on the legislature to
sure.
get something through there?
Sure. It's using the bully pulpit of the Attorney General to stand up and say that from a legal perspective, from an ethical perspective, the right thing to do is to eliminate discrimination in our communities. And I would stand up and support that. It's called the PA Fairness Act, and that's exactly what I would continue to do. I've been doing it for more than a decade, and I'll continue to support that.
Let me read a couple of tweets here. One from David. He says, I noticed the candidate didn't answer whether or not he took money, instead talked about ethics. A tweet from Villette. It's important to voters that Shapiro explains why it's okay to accept even small donations from donors with favored contracts. That was picking up on the very specific question
I think I did answer it by going through my record and also saying that the assertions John Morganelli is making are 100% false.
Meaning that you didn't – I don't want to –
Marty, we've been through this. He is suggesting that I somehow took a campaign contribution and issued a contract in exchange for that. 100% false. Never happened. Never will.
Let me get Mariana from Chestnut Hill to join us on Radio Times. Mariana, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question.
You're welcome.
I have a three-pronged question about the statute of limitations for child sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
The House recently passed a bill that would extend the civil statute of limitations retroactively to age 50. I was wondering what your position is on a retroactive civil extension of the law or a window to allow victims to sue. Secondly, I was wondering if you would continue what Kathleen Kane has said is a continuing investigation into clergy abuse in diocese in Pennsylvania. And thirdly, I noticed you said you worked at Stradley Ronan, and they have a history of representing the Archdiocese of Philadelphia through some of the darkest history of harboring child predators, and I was wondering if anyone there has discussed or you've discussed this issue with anyone at the law firm.
Mariana, three good questions. Thanks
Great.
For the call.
Mariana, thank you. Let me try and hit these one, two, three. Number one, I support the legislation that passed in the House of Representatives I guess it was yesterday or the day before. I support retroactivity. I support a window. I'd support going even further and, uncapping the statute of limitations completely, Mariana. So, and I'm proud in this election that Representative Mark Rossi, who is a new state representative who was abused by a priest when he was younger and is really leading this fight in the legislature, has endorsed me in this campaign and supporting me. So I'm okay with what the House passed. I'd be willing, Mariana, to go even further. These are important issues, and we need to make sure that every victim, every survivor has the opportunity to be heard criminally and heard civilly in this Commonwealth. That's number one. Number two, with regard to the clergy, and actually, Mariana, let me tie in the point you made about Stradley Ronan. Right. I am not involved in any way, shape, or form in the representation now or in the past of the Archdiocese, and my law firm would never ask me to assume a position that was one I didn't agree with. So I am firmly on the side of the victims and the survivors in this and support the legislation, again, as I said, going even further. Number two, with regard to the clergy abuse in the Johnstown-Altoona area, I visited there just a few days after Kane's report came out. I commended General Kane for putting that out. As chairman of the Pennsylvania Commission on Crime and Delinquency, I authorized $250,000 to go to victims' organizations in the Altoona-Johnstown area to ensure that as survivors came forward, they would have the resources they need, the counseling they need, the whatever help they needed. And sometimes that help costs money, hiring more counselors, making sure more resources are available. So I did that. The third thing I want to mention is as it relates to abuse, you know, one of the darkest days for the Commonwealth over the last decade as it relates to child abuse and child sex abuse is the Jerry Sandusky thing. And
no
I think
it,
not thing, but the Jerry Sandusky scandal. It is important that we continue to look into Second Mile. It is important that we look into any and all organizations, associations that were involved in that scandal. And as Attorney General, I will 100% commit to doing that.
We're almost up on a break here, but just I had scribbled down Sandusky and Second Mile. You think that there's more that can be learned about this particular charity?
I think it would be irresponsible for me to say that I think there's more because I haven't examined the evidence. What I think is responsible and what I think is important is to say that I'm going to follow the evidence wherever it leads. I will look into Second Mile and I will look into any organization that's been associated with Sandusky or any situation where you have child abuse. Listen, this has been something throughout my entire career, Marty, I've been committed to. I'm the father of four. I care deeply about protecting our kids. I was one of the individuals that started our Child Advocacy Center in Montgomery County. As chairman of the Pennsylvania Commission on Crime and Delinquency, we're funding the opening of child advocacy centers across Pennsylvania. I've been a leader on this legislatively. I'll be a leader on it as Attorney General.
Another short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation with Josh Shapiro, one of three Democrats running for the nomination for Attorney General here in Pennsylvania. And yes, the primary, April 26th, less than 2 weeks away. 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. And stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Our guest, Josh Shapiro, wants to be Pennsylvania's new attorney general. And again, we're featuring one-on-one interviews with all the candidates. They will all take place before the April 26th primary. And we have calls coming in at 1-888-477-9499. An email from Alexis. What would Shapiro do to interrupt mass incarceration?
Alexis, thank you for your question. I am the chairman of the Justice Reinvestment Initiative, which is a statewide, bipartisan, really national effort to reform our criminal justice system across the country and specifically here in Pennsylvania. We are spending $3.8 billion a year to incarcerate people in this Commonwealth. As chairman of the Montgomery County Commissioners, I oversee our county prison, where, Alexis, 40% of our inmates are nonviolent, on psychotropic medications, or hooked on drugs or alcohol. These are people who we have failed because we didn't get them into the system and get them the help that they needed. Look, prison needs to be reserved for those who are nonviolent. Those who are violent, those who are selling drugs, those who are a menace to society. But we need to do a far better job of getting kids the education that they need to stay out of prison, getting those who are suffering from mental illness and drug addiction the help that they need. I think part of being smart on crime is understanding the difference between someone who is addicted to drugs, stop treating that as a crime and start treating it as a disease, and someone who is selling drugs, in which case I will be merciless when it comes to dealing with those folks. We can reduce the number of crime victims, reduce our prison population, and reduce the tax burden if we're much smarter on crime and we begin to look at these issues in a more thoughtful way.
What do you do with that 40%, as you say, that are nonviolent and perhaps have mental health issues?
You begin by diverting them from the criminal justice system through problem-solving courts like drug court, for example. Get them the care and help that they need. need. And again, we're just talking about nonviolent people, not folks who are a threat to society. Get them the care and help that they need. Make sure they go through these mandated programs to get the help they need, get on the medications they need, keep them out of prison, keep them productive parts of society. In fact, President Barack Obama recently sent down his labor secretary to see what we're doing in our county prison in Montgomery County, where the typical recidivism rate is over 60%. In Montgomery County, we've dropped that under 20% because of programs we've put in place for people in our county prison to make sure that they're getting drug and alcohol counseling, they're getting job training, they're getting anger management, they're getting parenting education, and they're not coming back into our prisons after they leave, by and large. That's an important part of criminal justice reform.
Do you see this as part of the job of the Attorney General? The Pennsylvania Auditor General recently, or just a couple days ago, released a report basically saying our charter school laws are simply the worst charter school laws in the United States, basically saying that they fail to adequately provide the kind of oversight for the charter schools and raise questions about equal access, sure, and also equal funding. Do you see that as a job of the Attorney General to make sure that that there is equal access to an equal education for all children in Pennsylvania?
I do. And I'm the only candidate in the race that does. In fact, my opponents have mocked me for this. Listen, my fundamental responsibility is to protect your constitutional rights in Pennsylvania. We have a constitutional right to thorough and efficient education system for Pennsylvania students. Last I read the Constitution, it doesn't just say wealthy students or students from a certain suburban community or a certain zip code. It talks about all students across Pennsylvania. I believe that our current education policies and funding formulas and funding in Pennsylvania is both discriminatory and unconstitutional. And as Attorney General, I will do something about it.
What will
here's,
you do?
What will here's you do? What I'll do, Marty. Okay. Number one, there is a lawsuit that is pending right now in Pennsylvania before the Supreme Court. General Kane is defending the Commonwealth on that. That's her prerogative as Attorney General. I will not defend the Commonwealth on this because I believe that the current funding scheme is unconstitutional. I will take the other side. I will join with the school districts across Pennsylvania, advocates like the Philadelphia Bar Association and others, and I will go against the Commonwealth on this. Furthermore, we have seen in other states, Maryland, our neighboring state, for example, where the Attorney General has brought legal action, goes up to the courts, and ultimately the legislature is compelled to increase funding. It happened in the Baltimore City schools. It can happen here in Pennsylvania. The Attorney General has a loud and important voice on the education funding issue. If we can deal with education funding and get rid of the inequities in our system and create an opportunity for students to stay in good, safe schools, ultimately we're going to reduce crime. This makes sense both from a constitutional perspective and a criminal perspective. We've got to do this, and I'm the only candidate out there talking about these issues.
Let me read another couple of comments here. Website comment from Jason. He says, wait, what? Did I hear right? Josh Shapiro wants to vigorously prosecute someone for failing the application process to obtain a concealed carry permit. What? Is failing an application check a crime now?
If there was underlying criminal activity that ultimately had not been reviewed or not been looked at, yes, I think we need to be far more aggressive in going after that.
And I'll just read them. An email from Ryan. I would like a yes or no answer to the question of taking money, not whether it was a campaign contribution or not. That wasn't the question. Did you or did you not take the money? Yes or no. A one-syllable answer would be the best in this case. A tweet from Villette. No one says he took contribution in exchange for favors, but the conflict of interest invokes future suspicion. Lost my vote. What do you say to our listeners?
I'm sorry that your listeners feel that way. There's never been any suggestion, nor has there been anything in reality that a contribution was taken in exchange for any kind of official action. I am one of the leaders on ethics and integrity in this Commonwealth. And what you're seeing here from John Morganelli and the people that perhaps he encouraged to tweet or follow up here today is just an effort with 12 days to go in this election to try and muddy the waters and attack the front runner. And I accept that. I appreciate that. My record is very clear on ethics, integrity, and good government. And I'm proud of what we've done in Montgomery County.
And just so there's a little more clarity, what you're saying, this was not quid pro quo.
Of course not. And by the way, John Morganelli, when he was asked that question, said that, of course, it was not quid pro quo. And they said, are you accusing Josh of a crime? He said, no.
Looks like medical marijuana will be legal in Pennsylvania. This has been a long, long road for those who support that. Do you have any concerns about how this will be implemented or questions about just the regulation and oversight of medical marijuana?
I support medical marijuana, and if I was still in the House of Representatives, I would have voted in favor of it. Furthermore, I believe that over these initial 18 months when it gets ramped up, obviously I will be Attorney General at that time for the latter part of those 18 months. I will be working with those agencies who are setting it up and charged with setting up a responsible regulatory compliance program. And I think there are ways to do it in a responsible way, and we'll do that here in Pennsylvania.
Let me get Mark from Springhouse to join our conversation. And Mark, go ahead. You're on Ballot Talks on Radio Times. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Earlier, Mr. Shapiro, you indicated that if elected, you would take a much more robust stance with respect to straw purchases, illegal ownership of guns, guns used in crimes. If as a result of those initiatives, it turns out that a disproportionate number of the people who are caught up in your net are African Americans, how are you going to respond to the issue that this is nothing more than the new Jim Crow and another abuse of the criminal justice system to oppress black people?
Mark, thanks for the question. Go ahead, Josh Shapiro.
Well, Mark, you're making quite a leap there, and you know, part of what I've done throughout my career is tried to empower African Americans to break down some of the barriers that exist in our laws. I spoke about that at the top of this hour. I'm proud of the fact that many of the initiatives we've put in place in Montgomery County, and I'll mimic this across the state, have tried to reduce the tensions between law enforcement and the African American community. And we have seen, I think, great strides being made there. As chairman of the Pennsylvania Commission on Crime and Delinquency, we have a special initiative dealing with disproportionately high contact of minorities, particularly minority youth, with police. There are a lot of different things that we have done and will continue to do to break down some of those challenges that exist. I'm also proud, as I said in this campaign, to be endorsed by people like Council President Clark and President Barack Obama and others who have worked on racial justice issues throughout their careers. They know I'll be a partner on those issues and making sure our laws aren't discriminatory and aren't unfairly enforced against one group or another.
Mark, thanks for the call to Radio Times. All the candidates have talked about the heroin epidemic or the heroin problem, oftentimes beginning in the medicine cabinet and then ending up on the street. How do you propose to intervene on that? And one could say, well, there are doctors or perhaps even drugstores that are overly generous in giving out some of this opioid or these pain medications, and then that leads to a problem of heroin addiction when that becomes too expensive. How do you intervene here?
I began tackling this issue, I guess it was probably 3 years ago, in Montgomery County, where we established a task force to deal with the heroin and opioid crisis. And the first thing we said was, we got to stop looking at this as just a law enforcement problem. We can't arrest our way out of dealing with addiction. Instead, what we need is human services, social services, groups working together with law enforcement. We did that in Montgomery County. I've mimicked that across the state as chairman of the Pennsylvania Commission on Crime and Delinquency. Here's what we do. Number one, we work with our physicians to reduce the number of pain prescriptions that they're writing. Number two, we have to continue to have drug drop-off boxes across the Commonwealth so people can throw away their old prescriptions. Typically, we have heard many stories where someone will go into their parents' medicine cabinet, grab an OxyContin, and whatever the case may be, you get hooked on Oxys. You then buy Oxys illegally, which are about $40 a pill. You can't afford them anymore, so you buy a bag of heroin, which is close in nature to the Oxys in terms of the effect it has, and it's $5 a bag. And so you sort of go down that road. We're seeing this impact our communities all across Pennsylvania. And one of the important things we could do is get people to throw away their unused medication. Third, we need to make sure we arm law enforcement across the Commonwealth and first responders with naloxone. It's a life-saving drug for those who have overdosed, where we can save their lives and get them into the treatment that they want. We've distributed that throughout municipal police departments in Montgomery County. As PCCD chairman, we've had funding go out to help people across the Commonwealth, help law enforcement across the Commonwealth get it. I supported Governor Wolf's initiative to make sure that state police also have it. And then finally, we need to, I think, begin a far more vigorous education process, both for young people and others, to understand the dangers that can occur when you're messing around with opioids.
Mm. Austin from Westchester joins us on Ballot Talks and Radio Times. Austin, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
You talked about wanting to revise some of the criminal justice system. Now, you also are a proponent of medical marijuana. How do you feel about working against these small-level incarcerations for minor possession? And would you be in support of recreational marijuana in Pennsylvania?
Austin, thank you for your question. We need to change our laws in this Commonwealth. They're far too punitive when it relates to, you know, people having small amounts of marijuana. Philadelphia, I thought, took an important step forward in reducing criminal penalties here. The Pittsburgh City Council has endeavored to do that. I'm not sure they have the legal authority to do it. I would hope that not because they did anything wrong. I just don't think they have the same legal authority to do it. Furthermore, I think what we need to do is a statewide amendment to the law to reduce criminal penalties for those with small amounts of marijuana. I agree with that, Austin. Thanks for your call.
And Philadelphia is basically a fine and treated as a misdemeanor.
Exactly. I think if you took Philadelphia's ordinance and applied it statewide, that would be a smart approach.
Pennsylvania has the death penalty. I believe it has used it 3 times since the death penalty was reinstated. Where do you stand on that? And what's the point of having a death penalty if you don't use it?
Our death penalty system in Pennsylvania is fundamentally flawed, and it needs to be reformed. And I'm pleased to see that there is some attention being paid to this. Unfortunately, Governor Wolf has talked about this Senate committee that is working on some reforms. I think they've been meeting for about 3 years. We need to have a serious conversation quickly, not do the process quickly, but quickly convene and come up with a system that actually works. I think the death penalty should be reserved for the most heinous of crimes in Pennsylvania, but it doesn't work today. And the three people you cited who've been put to death over the last, I guess, 3 decades here in Pennsylvania have all voluntarily ended their appeals. The system costs taxpayers too much. It's unfair. Query whether it's discriminatory, and we have to make sure that we fix our system before we go out and employ it further.
A couple of voting questions. An email from Richard. Can your speaker do anything about gerrymandering? A question from John. Are open versus closed primaries state regulations or party regulations on the federal level? These are questions about, obviously, the upcoming primary and even the general election beyond that.
Yeah, and these are issues I worked on when I was in the legislature. Gerrymandering is probably the biggest reform we need, one of the biggest cancers to our democracy. When you create districts that are 80% Democrat, 80% Republican, you force people to worry not so much about coming to the middle to seek common ground, but rather to work in the extremes. And ultimately, it makes the process much harder to pass budgets or get legislation done. The second part of the question with regard to open or closed
open
primaries.
Open and closed primaries.
They are,
we have a closed primary.
Correct.
Here in Pennsylvania.
And that is determined by the state. The state would need to pass a new law. The governor needs to sign it in order to open up the primary system.
And what we're learning this election season is just how much control state parties have about how things transpire. Does it matter? Does party affiliation matter for the attorney general? Are there Democratic laws and Republican laws?
No. And I'll be above politics when it comes to dealing with public corruption and really just doing my job each and every day. I've got a reputation and a very specific history of going out after the election and always working with both sides of the aisle. Listen, in Montgomery County, when I took over that government after 150 straight years of Republican control, and the prior 4 years had been sort of marked by bickering between the two sides, I'm proud of the fact that in our first 4 years, I think we had one negative vote on a procedural thing. All of the other votes were unanimous. We all worked together. We were respectful of one another. I understand more than anyone that at the end of the election, the day after, you have a responsibility to govern and you have a responsibility to work together to meet the needs of the people. It will be no different as Attorney General. I think as Attorney General, you need to elevate yourself even more above the politics and make sure that you are working really in a nonpartisan fashion to administer justice in Pennsylvania. There are certain things I believe, right? I believe in equality. I believe in protecting women's right to choose. I believe in protecting the environment. Someone may, categorize that as being, quote unquote, democratic values, capital D democratic values. And that's fine. That's my ideology. That's my view. But at the end of the day, the work you have to do in government, particularly as AG, in some ways really needs to be nonpartisan. And it will be if I'm Attorney General.
Well, Josh Shapiro, thank you for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Wonderful to be here.
Nice to have you with us. And again, one of 5 candidates for Attorney General here in Pennsylvania. We are featuring on Radio Times with one-on-one interviews. He is currently the chairman of the Board of Commissioners for Montgomery County, and he served 4 terms in the Pennsylvania legislature. And he is also the chairman of the Pennsylvania Commission on Crime and Delinquency. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes. You can find out much more about the program. You can download a podcast of the show. In fact, download podcasts of all of our one-on-one interviews with candidates in these statewide races. I'm Marty Moskowain. Thanks for joining us in this first hour of Radio Times, and do stay with us. We'll be right back.